Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
Peter attempts to put pain in perspective by focusing on their position in Christ.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church, and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Pastor Heron continues his look at the book of 1 Peter today as we turn to chapter 1 and we learn how to smile in suffering.
If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter if you would. This is the book out of the general epistles, the books that we are looking at this year. We've been through James. It took us a little while, and this is going to take us a bit as well, but we will eventually get through the rest of these books this year on the whole idea of making a difference. And last week was the second of message of 12 on 1 Peter. Talked about who Peter was and all that he went through. And then last week, to sum up, last week we talked about 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. And basically the idea was that I can be secure in a doubting world, and being in a place to know that that security is going to come from the Lord. And knowing as well, number two, that I can have hope in a hurtful world, which is the theme of, I see one of theme among many themes of 1 Peter, hope in a hurtful world. And we can have hope, even in the midst of all that's going on. And thirdly, I think Peter was trying to help us understand that as we looked at the doctrine of the Trinity in verse 2, by God the Father, the Spirit, and Jesus Christ, that I can be doctrinally strong in a morally weak world. And this is what, as Christians, gives us a great hope and security. And Peter extends this now as we're going to read 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 12. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 12. You ready? Let's read. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom through now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, that they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. An awesome part of this book, we're going to look today at the general topic, how can we smile in suffering? Because we have a great doctrinal truth that as Peter gives to these believers that are in great trouble and difficulty and suffering, They had something that immediately Peter went to and said, "This is what you have." That became such an encouragement to allow them to smile in suffering and allow them to be hope-filled in a hurtful world. I saw a little article on Johnny Erickson Tata, who just seemed to me like yesterday that event happened as a little teenager, and it was 40-plus years ago that a little teenager that dove into water and broke her neck, and here you are down the road, a ministry giving the gospel out. There's multiple others. The emphasis that Peter is making to these believers, as we read in 1 Peter, were those that in the midst of it all, he was saying to them, listen, you can be encouraged and you can be hope-filled because there's so much that God has given to you. And this is the backdrop that we find as we spoke in the last few messages about 1 Peter, that he was writing to a group where we would kind of look as the frontiersmen of the Roman Empire. These were like the cowboys out on the far edges, the Roman properties that they were in control of. And here were believers that had been flushed out of Rome and even there in Jerusalem and found themselves up hiding away and living now scattered up there. And these were people that CNN got to Peter. This wasn't cable news network. This was a Christian news network because he had heard these folks are up here and they're needing encouragement. And he is a tremendous pastor, now an older man, hurting for these people, wrote to them. And if he didn't write and try and encourage them and pat them on the back and give them a back rub and tell them they're good people, the reality is he drew them attention immediately to something that was far better in helping them smile in the midst of suffering. If you have a Bible, turn there to 1 Peter that we read, and I'd like to walk through with you very simply what I see to be six reasons Christians can rejoice, because this is what Peter is saying, the very front end of an incredible letter that he wrote. As one author said, and I think he said it well, the people Peter wrote to were displaced believers. They were being singed by the flames of persecution. Their circumstances were the bleakest imaginable. Yet Peter didn't try to pump them up with positive thinking. Instead, he gently touched his hand to their chins and lifted their faces skyward, so they could see beyond their circumstances to the celestial calling. Peter attempts to put pain in perspective by focusing on their position in Christ. He said, we're chosen, and it's awesome that these truths form the skeleton of strong doctrine. This is what Peter was emphasizing. Without having it fleshed out, they were hard and they were bony and they were difficult to embrace. So knowing that, he expands on this and gives them something to cling to. Peter gives us pastoral counseling, giving down to earth advice for hurting Christians. And his point is, listen, to handle the immediate pressure, you must focus on the long-term future pleasures. Some of you today are going through difficulties that some don't even know about except for you. Things that you already know that if unless they change, you're going to be facing even more pressure in the future, whatever they are. And this is why this book is so critically important, because it's not just a textbook. It's the very voice box of God that he wants to speak to you. This is what he wants to say today. Let me just walk through, starting in verse 3, these six reasons I see that Christians can rejoice and get through tough times. Number one, he says in verse 3, we have a living hope. This is what the text says very so clearly. He says we've got a living hope. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This was the source, he's saying. It's coming from God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, according to his abundant mercy. He's giving us something we don't deserve. It's so awesome in this salvation. He begotted again for us, listen, unto a lively hope. It wasn't a dead hope. We've talked about hope 130 times in the Bible, and guess what two books of the Bible use hope more often than any other books of the Bible? What would you guess? The one that uses more the term hope than any other book in the Bible is Psalms. And guess what the second book is? Job. Would it not make sense? A very guy that has gone through incredible, like unbelievable. Can you believe this? And he writes more about hope than anybody else. It's such an encouragement to realize that Peter goes right to the point at hand, that if God brought Jesus Christ through the most painful of trials and the pit of death itself, certainly he's going to bring us through whatever we face. And I'm thankful that as believers, we not only have a living hope, we have a lasting hope that he says so clearly in John 3, verses 4 and 5. The word hope, very simply, and let me say it again to you because I'm going to say it repetitively through the book. Hope is a conviction that something will happen. It's a conviction something will happen. The very word implies a certain expectation. It's kind of like the morning, every morning, you have a conviction, you have a hope. But it's a certain anticipation, you know the sun is going to come up. It's not like, oh, I woke up, I just hope this is going to happen today. It's going to happen. The sun's going to come up and it's going to set. This is the idea when he says you have this hope. It's a certain conviction, an expectation it's going to happen. And Peter says, this is what will help you through. Number two, he makes a statement in verse 4. Secondly, we have a permanent inheritance. This again is great news to help you smile in suffering. This is how he says it. It's to an inheritance. And notice the terms. It's incorruptible. In other words, it can't decay. It's not going to be ruined. He says it's undefiled. In other words, it can't be stained. It can't be cheapened or lessened. It's not going to fade away. It's not going to lose its beauty because it's reserved in heaven for you. Nothing can destroy it, defile it, diminish it, displace it. Peter calls this hope an inheritance. A month or so ago, we talked about this idea, and for those of you that are like me, where you're not going to be giving off a whole huge inheritance to your children, realize that this is great hope for you also, because you might not give them a big, large inheritance. They can go out and spend it, but you can give them a heritage, a good name, and beyond that, Peter here is saying to these believers, you have an inheritance. These were believers that had been under persecution. The Roman machinery came in and they grabbed their properties and their bank accounts and their monies. They were flushed away from all they knew and they're sitting up here in the hills in the frontier land of modern day Turkey and they've got nothing. Can you imagine the dad telling the kids, I'm so sorry, kids, I have no inheritance to give you. And Peter says, listen, you have an inheritance that is way beyond what you could ever give on this earth. It's awesome. And realize that this is the kind of advice that Peter's saying, I'm giving to you as a reason that you can smile, even though there's suffering going.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.